Well, the scene opens on the flat countryside outside of Jerusalem. A father is walking with his two young sons. The sons are helping carry a little lamb, which is to be sacrificed at the temple. The time has once again come for the sacrifice. Perhaps the father brought the two sons along to teach them about responsibility and civil service. Perhaps he has brought them along to share his faith and tradition. Or perhaps he has brought them along to teach them something about sacrifice. The boys ask their father about what they should expect to see at the temple. And as they continue on their journey, the father tells them that they are there to watch the lamb. They share a poignant moment under a shade tree as they pause to take a much-needed rest along the sun-drenched road. Once they reach the gates of the city, they come upon a scene that they certainly weren't expecting. A scene of panic and chaos overruns the city. Soldiers marching around everywhere, people running to and fro, swarms of people gathered around, causing congestion and mayhem. The father pulls his sons closer to him as if trying to protect them from this tense and unruly scene. Clearly, there is something going on. What normally is surrounded with songs of praise and adoration has been replaced with angry shouts from the mob, "Crucify him!" The father and his young sons can't seem to escape the frenzied scene, forced to witness three men being put to death. The first man begged for mercy, the second man arrogant and unrepentant, and at the last one, someone yelled out, "There's Jesus," and pointed to a man so badly beaten that he barely looked alive. As the scene transitions, we see Jesus making his way down this narrow corridor with a centurion heeding the crowd to make a way. Jesus is now carrying the cross he will very soon be splayed out on. The blood continues to run down his face. The weight of the cross becomes too heavy to bear. And the Roman soldier points to the father and yells, You pick up the cross." Now we know that the man in the story is Simon of Cyrene. At first, Simon resisted, but then for whatever reason, he relented and picked up the cross. He helped carry the cross all the way to Golgotha, where they drove nails deep into Jesus' hands and feet. Simon stood there and watched helplessly and heard Jesus as he uttered his last words. He stood there for what seemed like years until two small hands reached out and grabbed his, breaking his concentration on Jesus. The boy stood there weeping, most likely not understanding what was going on. The oldest boy cried out to his father, "Father, please forgive us. The lamb has run away. Daddy, Daddy, what have we seen here? There's so much that we don't understand." So then Simon takes the boys in his arms and faces the cross and tells his sons to watch the lamb. The song crescendos and the scene ends. Now, I'm not sure when I first came across the music video for Watch the Lamb by Christian music artist Ray Bolts, but when I first watched it, I was immediately moved to tears. Now, this may not come as a shock to most of you, and certainly not to Melissa, who gave me a giant eye roll as I teared up just yesterday watching this video for like the 100th time. I'm not entirely sure what gets me. Perhaps it's the image of Simon the Cyrene walking along the road to Jerusalem with his two young sons, sharing his faith with them. And of course, as a father of two young children, the thought of sharing my faith with my children overwhelms me. Or perhaps it's That one line at the end where the children tell their father, "Daddy, Daddy, what have we seen here? There's so much that we don't understand." Maybe I'm more like the sons, the children, and I can't begin to fathom the real impact of Jesus' dying on the cross. Or maybe it's the scene where Simon and the boys are lined up along the corridor, and as Jesus falters with the cross, Simon is commanded to pick up the cross. I think that might have been the first visual representation I had of someone actually bearing the cross of Jesus. Well, whatever the reason, that song still gets me every time. Our scripture this morning points to this emotional scene from Mr. Bolts's song. There's a large crowd traveling with Jesus. There always seems to be a large crowd wherever he goes. But as in most cases, Jesus doesn't seem to be too particularly thrilled with this throng of people. To Jesus, a large following meant that a significant number of those gathered probably had no idea who or why they were following him. They were probably just curious what all the fuss was about. So maybe his harsh exhortation of hating father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, and even life itself is meant to winnow the crowd a bit. Maybe with his strong words, some people will be turned off and turn away, leaving only the most committed. Jesus says, "Whoever comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and child, brothers and sisters, yes, and even life itself, cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not carry the cross and follow me cannot be my disciple." Harsh words for the modern hearer, certainly. But maybe for the gathered crowd, Jesus just wanted to make sure that they knew exactly what they were getting themselves into. "For which of you, intending to build a tower, does not first sit down and estimate the cost to see whether he has enough to complete it?" Wait a minute. There's a cost involved? What do you mean? There's a cost for discipleship? Well, certainly. There's a cost on both sides. On the one side, God gave us Jesus to accomplish the goal of giving us a new life. And on the other hand, what's our cost? What sacrifice have we made to be a disciple of Christ? What effort and resources have we given in return? Jesus has a funny way of making us question ourselves, doesn't he? Am I part of the crowd that was going along for the ride? Or am I like Simon the Cyrene, willing to sacrifice and pick up the cross? Either way, it's a tough question. Referring to the significance and enormity of the cost of discipleship, 20th century theologian Dietrich Bonhoeffer wrote, "In the Gospels, the very first step a man must take is an act which radically affects his whole existence." This is precisely what Jesus was referring to. The cost of discipleship is a radical shift, a total transformation, not only of our thinking, but also in every fiber of our being. It's a call to deny our desire for self-preservation and put the needs of others before our own. It's a call to recognize the need we see every day and then act to make a change. It's a call to live as though Christ resides in each person we meet. We must keep in mind, however, that discipleship is a process. It's a journey. It takes time to develop. It involves false starts and modest successes as we grow in our faith and begin to live the holiness that resides in each of us. As disciples, we learn to face life's challenges and joys with a spirit of faith, hope, love, and peace that leads us to an even deeper spirituality and a life of witness. And therein lies the reward. Certainly, our reward is a house in our Father's mansion, but in the here and now, the reward for discipleship in Christ Jesus is a deeper spirituality and a richer, more abundant life. Well, next Sunday, as we mentioned, many churches will celebrate Rally Sunday, as we will here at this church. Effectively, it is the kickoff to the programmatic year in the church. It's a homecoming of sorts, inviting us back into the life and movement of the church after a long and busy summer. It invites us to celebrate all of the wonderful things going on in the life of the church. And yes, it's also a call to discipleship. As we roll out all of the various activities we have in store for this coming year and recognize all of the groups we can participate in or volunteer with, our invitation is to discipleship, to that deeper, radical, transformational life. We will certainly have choices and sacrifices to make. Do I give up my Wednesday night to hang out at the church and participate in an adult class on spiritual growth? Do I give up my vacation and my comfy bed to help people devastated by flood damage in West Virginia? Do I swallow my fear and give my time to hormone and social media driven teenagers? Do I drag myself out of bed on Sunday morning when I'd rather be sleeping or out on the water or out on the slopes? Do I forego that venti chai latte and instead give that money to someone less fortunate? The scenarios are endless, and the opportunities are never ending. But what are we here to do? We're here to watch the Lamb. Friends, the sacrifices add up, but the cost of discipleship is well worth it. May we carry the cross of Christ in all that we do and be transformed by the amazing sacrifices paid. Thanks be to God. Amen.